The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Green Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Green Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's great to be with you. Let's go. Let's do this. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX on a gorgeous day. What a beautiful day it is in St. Louis. Yesterday was a little rainy, a little foggy, a little gray, but it was a great day to be a college football fan, that's for sure, especially if you're a Mizzou fan. That was a terrific come-from-behind win that shouldn't have been. I mean, they were up 16-9. I was there last night. It's 16-9. First of all, they mess up on a point after with a 5-yard penalty, moves them back, and then they miss the PAT. So now it's 16-9, and you give the other sideline a little life, but still, it's middle of the fourth quarter. The defense has been holding them all day. You hold them to 3 field goals. Field goals aren't going to win these games. And you go home, right? No, Oklahoma ties the game. Then Oklahoma gets a scoop and score, fumble recovery for a touchdown. And before you know it, it's 23-16 Sooners with 2 minutes to go. And you got to be thinking, what in the world is going on here? I mean, this cannot be. And Drew Pine is the quarterback. And somehow, some way, as Drew Pine has been receiving criticism, and I'd say more so the Mizzou team has been receiving criticism, and Pine has not been able to move this offense as well as Brady Cook, and that's just reality. He comes alive with a tremendous drive and brings the team down the field, hits Theo Weiss for his second connection to Theo. He has 3 touchdown passes in the game. And suddenly they are tied and we're going to overtime. There's about a minute to go. Sooners get the ball. They've got a chance to stop the clock. They're moving the ball a little bit. And then their quarterback gets stripped. It's just, it's unbelievable. I know that Chris Gervino, who is the sideline reporter for the radio broadcast, said that Oklahoma could be ripe for a turnover here. They have been turning it over. They have been horrendous, really, to his point, turning the ball over. But he called it. And they turn the ball over. The quarterback, Jackson Arnold, gets stripped of the ball. Zion Young scoops it up, runs it back for a touchdown. And Missouri takes a 30-23 lead and closes it out. I mean, it's just one of those crazy things that happens in college football where you go from what are you going to say about this Missouri team moving forward to, oh my gosh, they pulled out another one. And maybe that is the identity of this Missouri team. You know, we've all been kind of struggling for who is Mizzou? I mean, what are they? They were considered and thought to be and expected to be a top 10 team. Eli Drinkwitz has told us all year, I do not care what people say, what the narrative is about our team, what they want us to be, how they shape us, what they think we're supposed to be. We're a good football team. And that's what I care about, is this team. And a lot of coaches say that, but he really does mean it. And I think that all of us are kind of in the same boat, coach included. None of us had a handle really on who Missouri is. But now I think we've found out who they are. They're a gritty football team that pulls games out, that finds ways. Not a perfect team. Very flawed. But they're 7-2. Their losses are at Texas A&M and Alabama. Now, they were blowout, non-competitive losses, and it looked pretty bad. But they have two losses in an SEC that has two lost teams everywhere. They're going to need a miracle to make the college football playoff. Let's just be clear about that. They just don't have the schedule. You know, they don't have signature wins. The soft schedule that they had compared to some others worked against them in that respect, where they needed to go win at A&M. And they probably weren't going to win at Alabama, but they were, you know, a 34-0 loss didn't help them. But they're 7-2. Folks, if I were to tell you that Missouri in the last 2 years, if Missouri ends up running the table here, and they're going to have to go down to a very hot South Carolina team and win. But if I were to tell you that Missouri would go 21-4, and let's add a bowl game to that, and they win it somehow, that they go 22-4. Let's say they don't win it. They're 21-5 over 2 years. Would you take that? I think you'd take it. And I think it's a program that is on the rise, that Drinkwitz has actually elevated the expectation level of Missouri. He might not love it that, you know, everybody expects him to win games and win them big, but he's raised that level himself. He's raised funds to go into the stadium that they're renovating. He's raised funds that go into NIL. He's raised the level of the roster. He's raised Missouri's level in the top 25. I mean, everything to me actually does point up for Mizzou, even with the two losses and how disappointing it was based on their expectation level of making the playoff. The reality of college football is it's very, very hard to win football games today. Most of these teams, aside from my alma mater, Indiana's 10-0. But it's hard to win. It's hard to win football games. Unless you're Oregon, Indiana. There's a couple others. But look at BYU. I mean, they barely beat Utah last night against a rival. Georgia loses to Ole Miss 28-10. Miami loses to Georgia Tech 28-23. It's just happening over and over again that these games are so hard. It is so hard to win at this level, the parity of college football at this point, that 7-2 with a chance to go 10-2, maybe not make a playoff game, but play in a pretty respectable bowl to go 11-2 back-to-back years is really, really good. In fact, I think 10-2 is a phenomenal season for the University of Missouri, even with the two losses that you have to hang on. That are hung on you at A&M and LSU. But going back to who is Missouri, Missouri's a team that finds a way to win. And while we haven't seen them fire on all cylinders, Cook compromised, hurt for a lot of the season. Maybe they didn't tell us all about everything that was happening, but then we did find out about the ankle after the Auburn game, the incredible going to the hospital and coming back. I mean, you know, who are the Missouri Tigers? They're a team that does not give in and stays in there and wins games somehow, some way, finds a way. I think it's a nice identity to have. Now, they'll have to take it to the next level. They need a few more Luther Burdens. You know, they need a 4 or 5-star quarterback moving forward. They're going to need great, great pass rushers and really need to make sure that that offensive line is SEC caliber next year and for years to come, because that's been a problem for them. They haven't been able to block. They haven't been able to pass protect the way that they want. They didn't establish a running game this year like they had in the past. But if they can get some of those pieces internally fixed, Missouri's going to be a 9-10 win team expectation every single year with a chance to make the playoff every single year, I think. And so credit to Eli Drinkwitz for doing that and for finding a way. They found a way last night to win a game against Oklahoma. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go through the entire top 25 college football scoreboard. We'll play a little contender pretender again to see who is really in good position here to make the playoff after what we saw yesterday. Troy Robertson will talk college basketball with me at the bottom of the hour. He's doing the Billiken game with me on TV today. We have it on radio. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. 10:45, Andy Strickland on, oh, gosh, what the heck happened to the Blues last night conversation. That's happening at 10:45. We'll do our NFL picks at the start of the 11 o'clock hour around 11:15. John Mozeliak's coming back on the show today at 11:30. Can't wait to talk baseball with him and Bernie Miklas to wrap it all up in a nice little bow at 11:45. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Back after this.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken's win! Billiken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, so that's my dissertation on Mizzou football. And again, if you missed it, just a brief summary, 7-2, so far so good, 10-2, great season, and 21-4 before whatever postseason game they're playing this year would be a phenomenal run for Eli Drinkwitz in 2 years. Now, even if they don't make the playoff, I still think that it's a program that is on the rise. If you just look back a few years where they were. Missouri is going to have a big struggle making the playoff. It is what it is. Because there are a lot of teams right there in the mix. Let's go through the top 25 for you. Missouri's number 24. They won last night. For those of you just kind of coming back from yesterday and did not see the end, Oklahoma was up 23-16 in Missouri. Well, let me take it back. Oklahoma was down 16-9, scored twice, a touchdown, then a scoop and score for a touchdown. They're up 23-16. Missouri does the exact same thing back to them. A touchdown, Pine DeWeese. A touchdown, Zion Young. And a win for Missouri by a final of 30-23. It's just absurd. Oklahoma's not very good. They're 5-5, 1-5 in the SEC, but it's still Oklahoma. It's still a brand. And by the way, they were favored in the game. OU was favored by 2.5. Missouri missing Brady Cook finds a way, wins the game 30-23. All right, top 25 college football. This is just in my wheelhouse. I have so much fun with this, especially this year. And I've been saying it for like Tim Klutsaritz was our producer back in the day, and he and I worked together, James. Tim was doing exactly what you do, and we sat here in the studio in 1998 and said, why don't they do a 16-team playoff? Just take all the conference champions and then have a 7 at-larges, 9 conference champions. Set. This is before the whole Power 5 thing. 7 at-larges, let's have a 16-team playoff and go. Forget these bowl games that don't mean anything. Let's play meaningful postseason football. And I was told it'll never happen. These universities never will allow that. These kids have to study for finals. Or, you know, the old boy network of the bowls will never let it happen. Well, I'll tell you what'll let it happen is money. And the money is going to flow in on these playoffs because it's entertaining and the NFL is always going to be king, but college football TV ratings are coming in fast and furious because all these teams still think that they're in it. And that's going to make for a fascinating December of college football. Oregon is number one in the country, and I think they are a clear number one. They are the best team in the country to me. They beat Ohio State. They've beaten everybody on their schedule. They play all phases of the game very well. Dylan Gabriel is the FBS all-time touchdown leader with his pass yesterday. 39-18, they beat Maryland, which is a tough, gritty Big Ten team that kind of hangs around, but Oregon did what they have to do, and they won a Big Ten game, 39-18. Oregon plays all phases of the game very well. So does Ohio State, and that's why they fought Oregon tooth and nail up in Eugene. That's why they went to Penn State and they won, and that's why they obliterated Purdue, which is a bad football team, 45-0 yesterday in Columbus. Number two, Ohio State rolls. Number three, Georgia. This surprised me, and I think a lot of people. Not that they lost the game necessarily. I knew it was going to be a good game, but that they got it handed to them by Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin wins the biggest game so far at Ole Miss, 28-10. 16th-ranked Rebels beat Georgia, 28-10. 10 is what Georgia was able to score on Ole Miss. You know, you think about Ole Miss, you think about high-powered offense and giving up some points and not worrying about it because you play quick. Georgia couldn't keep up with them, and Carson Beck, you have to start thinking about what you're doing there at the quarterback position. It's amazing to say that. But they got thoroughly outplayed by Ole Miss yesterday, and Georgia's going to fall in the ratings here. I don't know how far. We'll find out. Miami loses. Now, this one I did see coming. Georgia Tech is tough, and they're now 6-4, 4-3 in the ACC. They play well at home, and Miami is flawed. Miami has a lax defense. They have a playmaking quarterback who is the best player in the country, Cam Ward. But if he's not going and Georgia Tech hangs on to the ball a little bit, keeps the ball away from them, and Miami's defense has to be able to stop them, and Georgia Tech scored a touchdown in each quarter. Every single quarter they had a touchdown, and they were consistent. They played a good football game, and they beat Miami 28-23. So the fourth-ranked Hurricanes are going to fall. Texas is back. Texas is great. They're one of the best teams in the country, clear national championship contender in my eyes. They have one loss. That was to Georgia. They came out and smacked Florida yesterday 49-17, same team that Georgia struggled with last week. Texas comes out and pounds Florida. Number six, Penn State. Very good bounce back for them. After losing to Ohio State at home, they come out and they beat a big, tough, physical Washington team. Not a good Washington team, but physical. 35-6. They just manhandle them. It was just a done deal for the Nittany Lions. No problem. 35-6. Tennessee, 33-14 win over Mississippi State. Same thing. Tennessee's big, tough team. That is their new identity, I think. That they are a very, very good team. Mississippi State is at the bottom of the SEC. But Tennessee just finds ways to beat you, and they're 8-1, 5-1 in the SEC, 33-14. Their loss is to Arkansas, but they have some good wins on their resume, including over Alabama. The eighth-ranked team in the country is Indiana. Indiana's now 10-0. They beat Michigan 20-15. Again, not as good a Michigan team, defending national champions. They're now 5-5, but Michigan still has an elite defense, and they showed that, and they gave Indiana trouble in the second half. The Hoosiers have a very good defense, and now I think gets a little more national attention that they are a more balanced team. They're not just a great offensive team. They're a great team across the board, and their defense won a game for them. 20-15. They have not lost a game. They are 10-0, and they will move up in the rankings. How far, I don't know, because they have not played or beaten a ranked team, for that matter, but they're 10-0. And now the Ohio State game comes. Everybody wanted to see how they matched up against Ohio State. Got to win all those games first. Now they're 10-0. Now they get a bye week, and they can wait for Ohio State a little bit and then go in there, maybe a little loose, have some fun with it. If you lose it, it's not the end of the world. You have Purdue waiting for you the last game to get to the playoff. That's how I see it for Indiana at this point. 10-0. 7-0 in the Big Ten. What a win for them. BYU, what a win at Utah. They pull it out somehow. They're 9-0, 22-21. Over Utah, their rival. Florida State's awful. Notre Dame crushed them 52-3. Alabama crushed LSU. LSU is not awful. And Alabama just destroyed them by a final of 42-13 down in Baton Rouge. That is a terrible loss for Brian Kelly. Worst loss so far since he got down to the Bayou, and Alabama hammers LSU. Great win for them. They're back in the national championship picture. Boise State keeps doing their thing. They beat Nevada 28-21. They're 8-1. Their only loss is to Oregon. They're a very good college playoff contender right now at number 12. Kansas beats Iowa State, putting them out of their misery 45-36. Cyclones were 17. They will fall further. Virginia knocks Pittsburgh out of any playoff contention, drops them to 7-2, wins at 24-19, Virginia over Pittsburgh. Colorado's in the picture. 7-2, 5-1 in a good Big 12 conference, beat Texas Tech 41-27. Washington State's a team nobody talks about, but they're 8-1, and they beat Utah State 49-28. Clemson over Virginia Tech 24-14. Army's unbeaten, beat North Texas 14-3. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to get into some college basketball discussion with Troy Robertson. I look very much forward to that. But first, let me say a couple more things about college football, because I have a few more minutes, don't I, James, until we said we were going to take a quick break. Those are the major games, but there's so much college football being played right now. And I know that there are some people in St. Charles in particular who were listening to this college football rundown just now and said, watch, he's going to take a break and he's not going to mention us at all. You're wrong. Lindenwood pulled off a huge upset last night And I don't know how big of an upset it is as much of a huge win that it is. Lindenwood beat Southeast Missouri State 24-12. On the surface, if you don't know enough about what's going on in the OVC, and just basically in that realm, then you wouldn't know. But Southeast Missouri State is the sixth-ranked team in the FCS. They are number six. And they call this the Game Ball Brawl Trophy. And they won it at Hunter Stadium. Lindenwood beat Southeast Missouri State, the number six team in the country, 24-12. Very good defensive effort. They forced a fumble on the second play of the game. Southeast Missouri State capped off a drive to kick a field goal to go up 3-0. Then Lindenwood responded with an 8-play, 75-yard drive. After it was a 7-6 game, they took a 14-6 lead at the half. And I love their stadium, by the way. Hunter Stadium at Lindenwood is cool. It's built into a hill that looks at the campus. So you can sit on one of the end zones, and they looks like VIP seating right there below one of the campus buildings. I can imagine myself sitting up there on one of those tables, maybe having a little cocktail, and walking down to my VIP seat, looking over Hunter Stadium and watching the Lindenwood Lions. I think they've got something there, and I'm impressed with what they did. Anyway, they're up 14-6 at the half. The Lions went up 21-6 with 7:20 to play in the third quarter. Southeast cut the score to 21-12. No good on the two-point conversion, so that hurts them. Now it's a two-possession game. And Lindenwood basically does what I love. They ate up the clock. They had the ball for 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. That is a team that has my heart. Chew up the clock, move the chains. That is awesome. And they won the game over Southeast Missouri State. My apologies to my friends in Cape Girardeau for gushing about a Lindenwood win, but good for them, 24-12 over Southeast Missouri State. Jed Stugart said, I have so many emotions going through my head right now. This is a huge win. We've said all along, this isn't a rivalry until we win one. Good for them. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Some college basketball with Troy Robertson next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. Big day on the campus of St. Louis University. The women's soccer team plays at noon against UMass in the A-10 final. And then at 3 o'clock, it's time for Billiken basketball. SLU taking on Avila University today at Chaffetz Arena. We'll have it on KMOX. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., 3 o'clock tip, 2:45 pregame. And for the first time, my buddy on the line here and I will be partnering on a broadcast, and that is Troy Robertson, who I've known for a long time, former Billiken, fellow MAC member, might I add, and television analyst. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, partner. Can't wait to do this today. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time on FanDuel Sports Network. We're going to do some TV. Tamar Scher will be our sideline reporter. Brian Shapiro, the terrific producer from the Cardinals and previously Bally Sports Midwest, now FanDuel director Nick Thompson. We got quite the crew, Troy. You ready to roll?
It's all new to me, bud, other than talking basketball. So, you know, I've downloaded the FanDuel app. I'm ready to go, ready to work with Brian and everybody else. So, you know, time to kick off some Billiken basketball.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll make it easy for you. See, all I do is take care of all the paperwork. Let me handle all the commercials and the, you know, the reads and tell you what's going on out there. And you just talk some ball. I mean, I turn it over to you. And if you know anything, it's ball. And also, you know, you played at a very high level. You played Division I basketball at St. Louis University. So that's what I always tell analysts is, you know, you see a different game than me and the viewer, might I add. So I look forward to hearing you let it rip.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm the high-priced talent on this broadcast, but I'm not high-priced or that talented. But I do have an eye, so I'll try and share, you know, what I see out there and kind of the what and the why behind the decisions and, you know, maybe give my thoughts on how these players process things at the speed at which they do and kind of why they do what they do. So look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And what do you see with the Billikens? So far, they've played Santa Clara, and I think, Troy, one of the best teams that they'll face in a while, actually, and maybe the tallest team that they'll face all season. How do you think, and we'll talk about Robbie Avila in just a minute, but just overall, how do you think they performed in that game?
I mean, you know, disappointing to lose a close game against a quality opponent. We don't have, St. Louis University doesn't have a ton of high profile, high quality non-conference games. So you really wanted to capitalize on the opportunity in a game you could have won with just one possession with, you know, a minute to go. And I think that what hurt them in that game, which is something I'm going to watch for this year, is just the overall athleticism. I think our team is very skilled. We have a lot of skill guys with Isaiah Swope and Gibson Jimerson at the top of the list, and of course Robbie. But I wonder, against some real physical, you know, NCAA tournament type teams, can we keep up with the athleticism? And I know what Coach Schertz is working on now, you know, full speed, and he has been since June, is their reads and their efficiency and the way in which they play helps counter any lack of athleticism. But in order to do that effectively, you have to master the system. And we're not there yet. He's still in teaching mode. He's still in what he calls processing mode, almost like a computer. It's just not running at the speed at which you'd want it to yet. And that goes to the decision-making, when to do switch on defense, when to stay, when to get through things, and then all the reads on offense. So, you know, over the next month, can he get them up to speed so that they're as ready as possible when you get into a little bit more of the heart of the schedule?
Yeah, that makes sense. How do you describe the offense to someone? If you were trying to describe that system, what do you see?
It's a read-based system. So for so many of us that grew up playing basketball, you know, you come down the court and coach says, run play X, and everybody goes to their spots and then runs the play accordingly. His is much different, especially when Robbie's healthy. They all have their spots in which to start, but then once the pass is made to initiate whatever offense, or whether it's a ball screen, everything else is a read based on the defense. So if they're high, you go here. If they're overplaying you, you cut. If you pass away, you do this. And so it's not really a play per se. It's kind of more motion and read based. And that means literally it's almost like a quarterback in football. Every time it's snaps, the quarterback, a really good one, sees where the open guy is. Even if it's not the play he really wants, like a downfield throw, there's usually an open guy. And that's kind of how SLU's offense is. You hope to get a three here or a three there or get a layup or a dunk, But really, it's about what the defense gives you and then making the proper read and then executing that read.
And Robbie Avila is the best at it. He has been playing for Josh Schertz for a while at Indiana State, and he gets it. He is injured. He's going to be out for a little while. The initial diagnosis was the sprain would be 2 weeks. We'll see how long that does take. Can they get away with him not being in there? I guess my question is, he's not the only one that has to read those cutters. Everybody sort of has to play that style. How do you see that without him?
Yeah, I mean, again, not to use my analogy of the QB, but you are kind of to your backup quarterback from the sense that they call it the trigger man, and Robbie's the best trigger man that Coach Schertz has ever seen, and they kind of think alike, read alike. So normally he trails the play, and he's at the top of the key, and he can catch the ball and kind of make all the right reads and the right passes. So they'll have to adjust. You'll see a lot more of Isaiah Swope and ball screens, and you'll see a lot more of, intentional looks for Gibson. Probably a little bit more post-offense oriented with Kalu Anya down low. So they're going to kind of have to play a hybrid, if you will. They'll still play the same system. They're just going to have to take a few plays out of the playbook because nobody can quite do it like Robbie.
Avila University is an NAIA school. It's interesting, isn't it, how Robbie Avila plays Avila. Actually, as it turns out, he doesn't play Avila. But Josh Schertz, I think, has a lot of empathy and, positive feelings about these schools getting an opportunity. Of course, he was at Lincoln Memorial, coached there for a long time, had that thing absolutely rolling. He goes to Indiana State. Now here he is at SLU. From all accounts, and I've known him a little bit since, and a lot more now since he's in St. Louis, but I knew him when he was at Indiana State, is he really hasn't changed much. He's still just that deep thinker, good person that people love to be around him. What is your impression of Coach Schertz?
Yeah, I think you hit it spot on. My impression is he takes basketball very, very seriously, and that's about it. He's a very self-deprecating guy. He's laid back. He's funny. I mean, he can, make fun of himself. I don't think he takes a whole lot. Some of these coaches just walk around and they're intense from the second they wake up and just are on full grind mode. That's not really him. He's more of a teacher. He's more trying to implement his system so the guys can, it almost runs itself if he teaches it the right way. And then I think what you said is really important. I mean, 12 years in Division II means you've taken a lot of bad bus trips. And you've taken, you've done a lot of things with the managers yourself. And his wife, Natalia, is just awesome. And they've had to run to Jimmy John's and get food. And, you just kind of grind your way through it. And so I think he has a humility for understanding the process. And I think he's very grateful to be here. And it's a good fit. I think it's a match made in heaven. And that always sounds good, before you really get in the meat of your schedule. But I think if he can win here and win big, I think it's a great, great match.
It's a great start to the season just to get everybody in Chaffetz Arena and get it going. Of course, you'd love for it to be with Robbie, but in time that will happen. And SLU will, I believe, start to gain some attention. But you got to start somewhere, and that somewhere will be at 3:00 today at home after the loss to Santa Clara up in South Dakota. They'll be hosting Avila University. Troy Robertson will have the call with me on TV. Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. will have it. A couple of Hall of Famers right there, Troy.
I think it's Rammer's 39th year, so we're only 38 behind. But we can start. We got to start somewhere.
We got a ways to go. Appreciate you. Can't wait to catch up with you down courtside today.
All right. I'll see you in a few hours, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to it. Troy Robertson with us on KMOX. We'll be on FanDuel Sports Network today. Coming up next from that very network, Andy Strickland talks some Blues hockey with us on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Sports on a Sunday morning continues. Good to be with you. What a gorgeous day it is outside here in downtown St. Louis. And the sun came up another day for the St. Louis Blues. After getting blasted last night 8-1 by the Capitals, they need something to go their way. And that is a beautiful day. They also had some nice uniforms, Andy Strickland. That's about it. The FanDuel Sports Network analyst and reporter joins us now. It's great to have you. How are you?
Couldn't be better, Tommy, although we've seen better days.
listen, at least the sun is up, like you said. You know, you turn the page, you hope to forget about that one. I don't remember the last time we saw a game like that on home ice. Unfortunately, we've seen a couple of those games already this season, but the first one at home, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it a little bit more to me. Now, what I kept telling people was you're going to have to grow with this team, learn and understand that it's going to be a roller coaster type season. But there are some times where they're just non-competitive, Andy, and that is cause for concern. I mean, 8-1 is 8-1.
Yeah, 8-1 is 8-1. And listen, Washington's gotten off to a great start. They're playing with a ton of confidence right now. And, you know, Alexander Ovechkin has really galvanized that team. You know, talking to a couple of the players yesterday from Washington, I mean, they're all rallying around this whole chase for Wayne Gretzky's record. You know, this guy gets two more yesterday, Tom. Now he's 31 shy from passing Gretzky. I mean, could he do it this year? And what are these numbers going to look like when it's all said and done? I mean, he's going to get to 900. Will he get to 1,000 goals? I mean, what is his stat line going to look like in the record book once he hangs him up? I mean, this guy can still play at a high level. He can shoot the puck as well as anybody in the league. He knows how to find the open spots, and other players around him know how to get him the puck. You know, their power play had been terrible. It looked a little better yesterday when you look at Washington. You know, so Heritage Night, the uniforms for the Blues. Binnington didn't have his best game. And you're right. Listen, they're trying to find that identity, a bunch of different players, you know, kind of coming into the mix, you know, to begin the season. And I really felt like coming into the year was, hey, it's going to take some time. And what was it going to look like? You know, who's going to be able to play with who? Is this guy a center? Is this guy a winger? And how is it all going to come together? And, you know, then you get hit by the injury bug, right? That makes things a little bit difficult when you don't have your best player in Robert Thomas. Philip Broberg on the back end obviously got off to a great start, and he's one of your best players. So you don't have them, but you've been able to beat some good teams like Toronto and Tampa Bay without those guys in your lineup. But for me, it comes down to effort. The effort wasn't good enough yesterday, specifically in the third period. I mean, they went into the third period. It was a 3-1 game, so it was right there for them to get a goal and jump right back into it and get the crowd behind them on a Saturday night. You got these early starts. The crowd's into it. And it just didn't happen. I mean, they just got absolutely destroyed in that third period.
Yeah, and whoever was still hanging around booed them as they skated off the ice. Andy Strickland is with us, always has done such a great job breaking this team down, and you know these players as well as anybody. I just wonder, how many games have they gotten away with Jordan Binnington being great? Do you see it that way? I mean, have they won some games because of him? And on nights where, you know, he's not going to be as sharp, they're going to lose the game? Is that part of it as well?
No, I think it's a great point, and I 100% agree with you. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to be their best player. I think he is their best player. You know, I said Robert Thomas a few minutes ago, and obviously he's your best skater, but, you know, Jordan Binnington is he's one of those guys that can really cover up a lot of your mistakes and a lot of your deficiencies. You know, you look at the youth you have on your third pair on your back end right now. And I shouldn't even say youth when it comes to Scotty Perunovic, because I think he's 26 years old, but he's young in terms of game experience with the injuries he's dealt with. But he scored his first career NHL goal yesterday, so that was a positive. But Matthew Kessel's still trying to find his way because of the injuries. You know, you've got, you know, P.O. Joseph sliding up the lineup. He's not a top four defenseman. He was -4 in yesterday's game. I think that's the second time this season he's been a -4 in a game. You can't have that in the NHL. But again, he's playing extended minutes. And they're trying to stretch him as much as they possibly can without having a guy like Broberg in the lineup. And people forget that Torrey Krug's out of the lineup as well. Listen, I know there's been some negativity surrounding Torrey Krug, but you'd love to have a guy like him with his experience and his ability to play the NHL game in the lineup right now. Obviously, you're not going to have him. But Binnington, listen, and Joel Hofer too. Hofer's had some real strong games this year as well. You know, he got the start in that game in Ottawa, so obviously that's one game you want to throw out the window. But there's been other games where he has been the best player on the ice, and he has made some saves that have probably covered up some mistakes and allowed the team to at least get a point or, in some cases, 2 points and win the game. But Binnington, you know, he has that ability, and he's the one guy, Tom, I don't worry about Jordan Binnington. Like, he'll shake this off. He'll come back. He'll be ready to play. This guy's a true pro, and he still has his eyes set on, you know, making that Team Canada Four Nations roster, too. He's got something to play for. And they still have something to play for in terms of getting this team back on track. Listen, I know internally the thought process after Robert Thomas went down was to keep this team right around 500. If you can be a game or two above 500 when Thomas comes back, and you know he expects to be back before Christmas time, for those who are wondering, then they feel like maybe they're going to be in good position to potentially get this thing together and really compete for a playoff spot and hang around and at least play meaningful games down the stretch. I think that's what you want if you're a Blues fan. You know, make the games matter as you get into late March and certainly into April. But you got to win your games at home, and you can't get pounded at home. Boston's coming to town on Tuesday, Tom. They lost last night in overtime. I think they had 16 shots on goal in that game. They're an average team right now. They're fighting it. There's a lot of rumors and a lot of rumblings surrounding that team in regards to their head coach and some other issues. You know, he's had some battles on the bench with some of their star players. So to me, that's a winnable game on Tuesday. If they can go 3-2 on this homestand, at least they'll be feeling somewhat confident when they hit the road back again.
Yeah, I hear you. If they could just get through that first minute. I mean, when Utah scored in the first 20 seconds or whatever, and last night Washington scores just about a minute into the game, it just takes all the air out of the building, you know?
It does. And, well, that's what happened in the Ottawa game, too. And you got, I hate to keep going back to that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they scored on the first shot of the game in that one. Utah scores on the first shot of the game, both of those against Joel Hofer. You look at last night. And listen, I got to be honest with you. Binnington, as great as he's been all season, he was not very good last night. And it's not just because they let in 8 goals. The team did hang them out to dry, and they weren't very good in front of them. The effort is just not at the NHL level in terms of what you expect from these guys in the third period. But, you know, you look at the Chychrun goal, you know, that's probably a shot that he wants to have back. I mean, there were some goals early in the game that, you know, you don't typically see scored on Jordan Binnington, specifically from distance. He's able to track the puck as well as anybody in the league. So, again, that's one of those maybe you throw out the window. But then the team just completely, you know, hung him out to dry. And the Blues had plenty of chances in the second period. I mean, you look at Bolduc, who hasn't scored a goal this season yet. He's a former first-round pick. They need this guy to get going. He has a breakaway in the game. He doesn't score. Brandon Saad hasn't scored in like 10 or 11 games. He had a grade A chance. Braden Schenn, the captain of the team, hasn't scored since the second game of the season, Tom, in San Jose. He gets a grade A chance every game, and he's just completely snake-bit right now. So, and Buchnevich, you know, they slid him back to the wing yesterday, and I know so much has been made out of him playing center. Maybe you thought getting him back on the wing was going to help him, you know, get some confidence. He had a couple of assists in the game against Utah, some nice assists. And you thought maybe that would jumpstart his game offensively. He's got like one goal in the last 10 or 11, and that was an empty netter against Toronto. So you look at the players that you count on to put the puck in the net right now. You know, Texier, who comes over, and they expected big things from him. He's a healthy scratch last night. So you hope to get guys like Matthew Joseph back. You got Kapanen back. And I know that doesn't excite the fans a ton, but these are NHL players who can skate at the NHL level. They bring some speed. And they bring a role to the lineup. You get these guys back, it's certainly going to help. But they've got too many players right now who are not, you know, executing or, you know, accomplishing much offensively. And you need these guys to score and chip in.
No, you're absolutely right. And I will end with a positive here. The Blues' best player, well, this isn't positive. Their best player, I think, this season has been Philip Broberg, but now he's injured. But I am impressed with the scoring of Jordan Kyrou. And for that matter, he not only leads the team in goals, Andy, but he leads them in assists as well. And I know that he had that first great game. But if he can score at a consistent level, that's great in his personal development.
Yeah, and not just that, but he's been a plus player all season. Like, he was plus +2 coming into last night's game. I didn't even look to see what his plus minus was. I mean, it could be scary, Tom. You might have to tell me what his plus minus was in last night's game. So maybe he's at an even if he was -1.
He was -1.
Because I don't think they had a forward that was more than -2 last night. They had some defensemen. This Suter was -3. I want to say P.O. Joseph was -4 in the game, but and somehow Perunovic and Kessel. It's always interesting, Tom, when you get blown out and you get the one or two players that are plus in the game, you know? Perunovic and Kessel end up being on the plus side yesterday. But Kyrou, listen, he can score. He's dynamic. He's had some bad luck. He turned the puck over again last night, Tom, and the puck ended up in the back of the net. You look at the turnover. I thought that was an inexcusable one against Utah. You listen, all you had to do is get the puck in deep or hang on to it. And as they say in football, live to see another down, and maybe you can get a point and see what happens in overtime. I don't blame them on the turnover against Philadelphia a few games ago. That puck just jumped on them. That happens. That was a hell of a defensive play by the defender for Washington yesterday, who was able to strip the puck from him. I apologize. The name escapes me who did it. But they went down and scored, so he's getting some bad luck there. But Drew Bannister has said recently that he loves Jordan Kyrie's team game, and that's something that he's been working hard at. So you like seeing that. You know that he's so skilled, the offensive numbers will be there.
Andy Strickland, you always do a wonderful job, not only in the radio with us and around town, but on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, and we appreciate you. Thanks for everything and future endeavors on the Blues broadcast. We look forward to it.
All right, Tom. You know, I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure to be back on KMOX.
Always great to have Andy Strickland on the station. We will take a quick break, come back, sports on a Sunday morning after the 11 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.